Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Praise God. Everybody say the God of Jacob. Maybe some of you are like, what are you even talking about? What does that even mean? What's this video have to do with anything? God of Jacob kind of resembles struggle, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And everybody say God of Israel. That's Jacob's new name, and it's God of his new life. God of my new life in Christ, found in Christ, my new identity in Christ. So I just want to exhort and encourage you guys this morning. I believe you, each of you guys are here for a reason. I believe that the Lord got you here. Just like I was telling Josefina, I was like, man, you were just on my heart, and I believe you're here for a reason. I believe that for each of you. Oh, okay, we're doing the wave. They said that we would do the wave. Yep, they told me on Friday. Yeah, the ladies group. Oh, here you go. Yep, thank you. Yep, it was happening. I was trying to be super spiritual, trying to encourage people. Yeah, thank you. thank you for that. Got me off track. Just kidding. I believe that each of you guys are here for a reason. I believe God is at work in your hearts today, and I believe he's going to speak to you if you allow him. And in Proverbs 25, verse 2, it says it's God's privilege to conceal things, and it's the king's privilege to discover them. In other words, it's God's privilege not to hide things from us, but to hide them for us. Because we grow when we have a challenge that comes against us. When the expectation's up here, but we have a coach by our side like Pastor Brent, he's like, you can do it, and I'm going to show you how to do it. And then, and even though you mess up, you finally get it, and you catch it, and you capture it, and you discover it. And then it's the king's heart, the king or queen's, because we're a royal priesthood. And when we discover it, when we see it, it changes us. When we see God, it changes us. You can't remain the same. And I believe you guys are going to see God, and you guys are going to experience God, and you're not going to leave this place the same. I truly believe that. So I just want to exhort you in that. So that's the spiritual stuff. Let's get to a funny story. So I've never changed my oil before. So I learned that this week. And so this week, Pastor Brent was offered to help me out. And so we got the ramps. It's not like a trailer ramp where you drive up it and like ramp it. No, it's the ramps where you just put it under the front wheels and you drive it up so that way you can get under the car and change the oil. So I've never done that before. Never knew how to do that. Didn't even know it was that simple. The changing the oil part, that was the simple part. We'll get to the other part that wasn't so simple. Pastor Brent's there, and he's like, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this because this is kind of nerve-wracking because I got to drive up, and you got to get over just one little bump, and it feels like the hugest bump ever. I'm like, am I over it? And so I start my car. Windows are down. I'll give you a setting background. It's happening at his place. There's some neighbors outside. There's a garage sale going on, so it's great. It's a good time to do it. So driving up, and I'm about to get over, and I have a heavy foot. If you know me, if you've ever driven with me, I sometimes have a heavy foot, and so I pushed down a little bit more, but it wasn't a little bit more, and I drove whoom, over and poof, slammed, and I was like, oh, no. I was like, oh, Pastor Brent, did I break it? I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, that's why you shouldn't have put me on your team. I'm like, I break things. I'm sorry. That happens. I'm sorry. I messed up, and I break things, and I hope you can forgive me, and he doesn't say a word, and then I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. He's like, well, you got to learn, and I'm like, all right, we're going. I don't want to do this. I'm kind of afraid. Everybody's watching now at this point, and I'm so scared. I'm embarrassed. I'm like, this is the most embarrassing thing ever. Okay, so we get the next one. He has another one. I'm like, thank God, because other ones are stuck under there. So we put the metal ones on there. I'm like, okay, this is going to work. And I'm like, I got to learn, I guess. So I drive up there, and it's like this little sump, I'm telling you, but it feels like the biggest thing ever. But it's not. It's so small. And I'm driving it, and I push the gas a little bit more, and what do you know? And it slams on the metal. And so it echoes. And now I got everybody's attention on the block. Everybody's looking over. The neighbors are like, what's going on here? My face is probably extremely red. I know Pastor Brent's face is extremely red. He's not saying anything at this point. And I'm like, man, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to do any of this because people are going to know me for that. Oh, yeah, you're that guy that drove off the ramp two times, right? Oh, thanks for letting me come to your church. So I'm like, yep, that was me. So, but the third time, the guy, our neighbor, thank God, he came over. He jacked up the car because the ramps are stuck under there. So, third time, he's like, maybe third time's a charm. I'm like, yeah, thanks, buddy. I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. But no, I was grateful that he came and helped us out. And third time, I finally got it. But I was afraid. I was fearful. But I had a good coach on my side, and he didn't give up on me. He's probably a little embarrassed about me, but... What do you know? We mess up sometimes. He said, you got to learn. I was like, I got to learn then. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'll just keep being persistent, I guess. So maybe I'll learn something through this. And I did. So it was good. I learned to be okay with laughing at myself and being embarrassed, if anything, and learning how to oil change. So I was grateful for that. I have a good coach, good mentor who's been leading me along the way. And so I'm really grateful for that, even though I mess up a lot. All right, let's dive into the story here. So if you have your Bibles today, we'll jump into Genesis 32, 22 to 30. We're going to talk about the God of Jacob and the God of Israel. And at this point, I want to build up to this point, but you can just keep your marker on here. You don't have to go anywhere else. And this is the point where Jacob, he's in a wrestling match with God. And he's not literally like, let's throw down, God, let's fight. Because, I mean, God can just swipe him away, okay? But I want to explain why he gets this moment, how he gets this moment, okay? So, Jacob, his name in Hebrew, it means to overreach. Like, I'm overreaching, like, mom or dad or brother or sister. Like, you're, like, seeing some good food on your, like, brother or sister's, like, that's mine. Let me try that real quick. Okay, it's kind of like that. Or he's, like, grasping the heel. He's lying. He's deceiving. That's what Jacob means, okay? And Israel, his new name means he who strives with God, or a man who struggles with God, wrestles with God and man, but overcomes. He's an overcomer, what his new name means. And so, to give you some background, when Jacob was born, when he first born, he came out grabbing his brother's heel, because that's what his name meant. That's what his identity was. That's what he grew up to believe. And so, but if you imagine this for a second, it says Esau came out being hairy. Esau means hairy. So I imagine, I was like, this is just funny. This probably didn't happen. But I was like, what if he just come out as a furball? How did Jacob know where his leg was? I'm like, if he's hairy, I mean, how could you know? So that probably didn't happen, but I was just thinking that. It's probably why I work with kids with that kind of imagination. But hey. So, yes, Jacob, he was known. He was known as the one who grasps the heel, deceives, he lies. And like I said, having a healthy family, Jacob didn't have a perfect family. He had a healthy family where they would go to Christ, they would go to the Lord, and they would try to do some right things, but he didn't have a perfect family growing up. And so it started when the boys grew up, and in Isaac, he saw Esau, and Esau was this man that was like, I'm a manly man, I'm going to go out in the country, I'm going to hunt, I'm going to do all the things outside, I'm an outside guy, I'm a outdoors man. And so that's how Esau was, and Isaac loved him because of that. He favored him. And Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, mother of Jacob and Esau, she loved Jacob more, and he was more of the stay-at-home person. He was more like, take care of the sheep, take care of the things of the house. And so Rebekah loved him more. So you could see the imbalance, the imperfection in the family, that there was some love that Esau was like wanting from his mother, but then there was some love and some worthiness that Jacob's like, well, I want to be loved by my dad too. I feel like you're favoring Esau more than me. And so you can see that at the beginning because it says that in the Word. And so we come to the first time where Jacob's living out who he believes. And he's older now, who he believes he is and what his name says he is. And he deceives, if you know the story of Jacob, he deceives his brother. His brother comes home, Esau, he comes home and he's super hungry because he's been working out all day. And if, for those of you who work really hard all day and you come home and you're like, man, I need some food. I don't want to talk about anybody or talk about anything. I'm just hangry, and I need some food. And Esau's like, he's at this point where he's just hungry. He doesn't even want to talk about it. He's like, Jacob, can you just give me some food? And Jacob, he uses that to his advantage, and he deceives Esau, and he lies to him, and then he makes him sell his birthright, Esau's birthright, and he makes him swear, too. So Esau, he gave in. He was just so hungry, and he just wanted to do that. So he did. But then from that moment on, he despised his brother. So that was the first moment that he did that to his brother. So Esau began to build up some hurt and build up some anger against Jacob. And so we continue on in the story. And Isaac now, the father of Jacob and Esau, they're coming to a land where there's Philistines. How do you say the name? Abimelech? Abimelech. I'm just going to go with Abimelech. Abimelech. Pastor Brent corrected me on that. He said it better than I did, so we'll just go with that one. he's the leader of the Philistines. So all the Philistines people are here. And Isaac's at this point where he's like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of scared because my wife's like really hot and I don't want them to like take her or anything. So he's like scared and he's like, okay, he talks to his wife and he says that, hey, I want you to tell him that you're my sister. So in other words, he's saying that I'm encouraging you to lie to them. So that way we can be protected. So he took things, matters in his own hands instead of consulting with God about it. And so he's not perfect, but he made that statement. And all the family are with him, so I'm sure they hear about it. I'm sure they see it. The Bible doesn't record that, but I'm sure they see it. So he comes and he lies to them. But then Abimelech and the Philistines, they find out that he's lying to them, and they call him out on it. And so I'm sure all of his family sees this happen. And so they send him on their way. And so Isaac's supposed to be this leader, supposed to be setting an example, but he teaches not only his wife, but just his family and everybody that he's with that is, hey, it's okay to lie. We gotta take some matters in our own hands and protect ourselves sometimes. And so fast forward a little bit more. Isaac now is really old. He's blind at this point, so he can't see anything. Esau is married, and he's 40 years old, okay? And Isaac, since he can't see anything, and he's in close to the time where he's going to pass away, he says, well, I want to go, Esau, go and get some food for me. Go and get some wild game. Go hunt, because I want to bless you before I pass away. And so Esau's like, all right. He's like super excited to go do it, because that's what he wants. That's what he desires, to be blessed by his father. And each boy does. And so Rebecca, the wife, she overhears this. She's listening in. She's like, oh, and she goes and runs and goes and tells Jacob. And she's like, Jacob, I need you to listen to me. I need you to go get this lamb. I need you to go prepare this. And I need to make something for your father, because I know what your father likes, so I'm going to make it for him. She's like, but I need you to listen for me. Listen to me. And he's like, wait, mom. You want me to be blessed instead of Esau, and you want me to lie to dad? And she's like, what if we get caught lying though? And she's like, it's okay. She's teaching him now. Now, not only Isaac says it's okay, but now the mother is teaching, hey, it's okay. If it's okay to lie and get a blessing, because if the curse, let the curse fall upon me. That's what she says. And so she's teaching Jacob that, hey, it's okay to live out to who we've called you to be, and what's been spoken over you, and the actions and your mistakes. It's okay to do that. And so Rebecca covers him with goat hair, because Esau's really hairy, so she got to make him feel a little bit more manly. He's had some smooth skin. He had some really smooth skin, so which is okay. Then he also told Jacob to go get Esau's clothes, because they smelled like hunting clothes, and so that way, if the father pulled him close, he could smell Jacob and he'd smell like Esau, but then if he would feel him, he could feel like Esau too, to deceive him. And so they go through that. And so Jacob comes before his father, gives him the meal. He eats the meal. And then he's like, come close. Let me check it out. And so he checks out Jacob, and he checks off the list. And Jacob deceives once again and lies to his father. And he's blessed because of it. Now, and you can see that Jacob was just desiring his father's blessing that he didn't have, that he didn't seem like he had. It was his perspective, okay? So there was a reason why he did what he did. So Jacob tricked his dad. And then later after he was blessed, Esau comes home. And you know, he's after a hard day's work. He's like, I got it. I got this wild game. And he prepares it, brings it for his father. And he's waiting for that blessing. He's like, I worked hard for this. I did this. And so Esau, he's like, okay, dad, bless me. And Isaac's like, what? And he's blind, so he doesn't know what's going on. He can't see. And so he's like, I already did. And he's like, what? Wait. My brother tricked you and stole my blessing. And that made Esau even more angrier, because this wasn't the first time that happened to him where he deceived him and tricked him and lied to him, to Esau. But this is the second time. And Esau makes this statement because he wanted to be blessed by his father. And he says about his brother that Jacob lived up to his name. Jacob, a liar, a deceiver, someone who grasps the hill and steals or deceives. He's living up to what was spoken over him. And so Esau was hurt, and he was angry once more. And now he wasn't looking for a way just to hurt his brother. He was looking for a way to kill his brother, because he's really angry at this point. And so Isaac and Rebekah hear about this, and they're like, okay, we need to go send Jacob on his way to find a wife and bless him and send him on his way. So they go and do that. Jacob goes on his way, and Esau is left, and he leaves his family, leaves his home and goes to this other land. And so he meets this person, Laban, who's going to be soon his father-in-law. So he serves there and whatnot, has two wives and a couple midwives. So don't encourage that man. but he serves Laban, and when he serves him for several years, and then he's trying to get away from them. So the only way he knows how to get away and to get his way and get a blessing and get protection is to lie. That's his mindset. And so he does. Because Laban, he's not perfect either. And he's the father of Leah and Rachel, who are his wives. And he's not perfect. He's got some control issues. And he's like, I don't want to let go. They're my only daughters. And so, but he deceives him. He lies to him. And he says, we're going to do something. And he goes to do something else. And so they book it. They're like, bye. And so he meets up with him. And he's like, hey, you tricked me. You lied. You deceived me. He's like, why'd you do that? And so they make amends. They make a covenant. And then finally, we get to a point where he's like, okay, you can go on your way, and so after making amends. And so Jacob finally prepares, before he left to go find his wives, God said that he'd be with him wherever he went, and that he'd prosper him, that he'd bless them, that he'd protect them, he'd be with them, okay? And so then we come all the way through Laban after serving him and serving his daughters for after 20 years. So this is 20 years plus being away from home. And so he comes and he prepares to meet with his brother again who's at home. Okay? And he doesn't know if his brother's forgiven him. He doesn't know, but he knows that he left on bad terms. And so that's not very good. And so he's kind of scared. He's getting to this point where it's getting dark, where all these things of who he was, who he lived out to be, all his mistakes, all his past, all his pain is coming up. And maybe some of you experienced that too. Maybe some of you are experiencing like what Jacob's feeling in this moment, where he's getting to this dark moment where he's like, man, I'm hearing all these lies about who I am. And I'm like, I'm believing it. And this is just who I'm going to be. But he's like, I don't want to be that before I meet my brother. I want to make amends. And so he plans this. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go send some gifts to my brother so that maybe we can forgive one another. Okay. And he's like, oh, but if he doesn't forgive me, I'm going to put my family on this side, put my family on this other side. So that way, if he kills one of us, then one of us can get away. And so he has this plan. And then we get to this moment where he's in Jabbok. And that's where I want to start, if you can follow along with me in your Bibles in verse chapter 32 here. Where Jacob is now wrestling with God. We'll start in 22 here. But during the night, Jacob got up and sent his two wives, his two concubines, or in other words, two midwives, and 11 sons across the Jabbok River. After they were on the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until dawn. Okay? And so this man actually was what people said to be, some theologians said, some said that it was God, some said it was an angel, some said it was a messenger from God. So you know this man is from God, and so they're wrestling with each other, okay? They're fighting with each other. Some of the kids have pictures of that, of God, of Jacob wrestling with this man. But then at this moment right here, we see that Jacob is wrestling because all these lies are coming up, all these past things, and Jacob doesn't want that anymore. And he doesn't want to be defined by your past. And so that's my first point. Get to a point where, like Jacob, where you're not going to allow yourself and what others think about you to define who you are. And so my first point is, don't be defined by your past. Jacob's coming up to this big moment. Kids and anybody else who's taking notes, don't be defined by your past. Jacob's coming to this moment where he's dealing with all these hurts, all these past and all these lies, and he's like, I don't want that anymore. I need something more. I need your blessing, Lord. I need to be reconciled to you and reconciled to my brother. I want to make it right. And so he's wrestling with God about this, okay? And so let's continue in verse 25 to 26 here. When the man saw that he couldn't win the match, or in other words, the messenger from God, saw that Jacob couldn't win the match, he struck Jacob's hip and knocked it out of the joint, knocked it out of a joint at the socket. Then the man said, let me go, for it is dawn. But Jacob panted, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And so my next point here is, let the struggle refine you, not define you. I'll say that again. Let the struggle refine you, the struggle that you're going through, that thing that's coming up, the lies that are coming up. Don't
Don't let it define who you are. Let it refine you. Let it change you. And believe that you're not staying here in this moment, but you're gonna hold on until you are blessed by God, okay? And so some of them, like I said, were saying it was an angel wrestling with God. Some say it was God himself. But God sees clearly that he can't overpower him. And so God could just totally took Jacob out because he was a sinner, and he could have totally taken him out. But he decides to have mercy on him. And he understands where he's coming from, why he's doing what he's doing. And so instead, this is what he does. He helps Jacob realize something. And what does he do? What did he do to him in that verse? He broke his hip. Yep. He broke his hip. He dislocated his hip. And it's because, not because he wanted to hurt him, but because he wanted him to see something. And once Jacob realized that, hey, I'm hurting, I'm broken, maybe physically right now, but God, you're trying to point something out that I'm hurting on the inside. And the only way I can be healed is by coming to you. And Jacob, he's like, I'm realizing this. And he's like, okay, well, I'm not letting go now. I'm not letting go until you bless me. And Jacob replies, you see his stubbornness. You see his persistence. And maybe some of you are at that point right now. You're like, okay, I'm realizing I'm broken. I'm hurt. But the only one that can heal me is God. And I need his touch today, just like Jacob. You're realizing that you're broken. And in Psalms, God says that in his word, he says, God is close to the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. I believe God is in here in the business of healing, and I believe he's going to do that with you, and he's going to make you whole. Maybe a physical healing, maybe something in your heart that he's really wanting to deal with. But let's pick up in verse 27 here. Verse 27, Jacob says, God says to him, what is your name? The man asked. Why? Let me just pose a question to you real quick. Why in the world would God of all the universe who created every man, every being, ask who Jacob was? Why would he do that? Anybody have some thoughts? God wanted to see what Jacob believed about himself. He said, who are you, Jacob? What's your name? What do you believe about yourself? And he replied, Jacob, liar, deceiver. It's who I am. It's who I'm always going to be. But I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be blessed by you, God. And so let's continue in verse 28 here. 28. Your name shall no longer be Jacob. The man told him, it is now Israel, because you have struggled with both God and men and have won. You've overcome. And my next point is here. My third point is discover your identity in Christ. Whether it's for the first time meeting him, or it's just you're seeing a new side of who God is. And once you see him, you can't remain the same. And in verse 28, the man said, your name shall no longer be Jacob. God takes away his past, his pain, liar, deceiver, the one who grasps the heel and steals. But he's like, I'm giving you a new name. And you're the one who struggles with me and struggles with God, but you overcome me and you overcome man. And my question for you today is, how many are struggling with God? Maybe you've been praying for something, but maybe you haven't seen it happen. Maybe you're wrestling with him and you're like, God, why isn't this happening? And this week I was wrestling with God to even what I was going to speak about. I was like, man, I don't really know what I'm going to speak about here. And I was really wrestling, and I was like, oh, I'm talking about Jacob wrestling with God. That's why I was wrestling. Okay. I finally understood. But my other question is, how many of you are struggling with people? Maybe you just have some hurt against people in your life, and you just need God's healing and God's love. If that's you, I believe he's gonna heal you in this place, and he's gonna work in your heart today. And so let's pick up in 29 verse 30 here, 29 to 30. Jacob asks him, what is your name? Jacob asked him. Why do you ask? The man replied. Then he blessed him there, and then Jacob named the place Peniel, face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. Jacob wants to know, who's this person that's giving him this encouraging word? Who's this person that's speaking life to him? He doesn't get it yet. He's not realizing it. He's not realizing who he's wrestling with here and realizing how he's being overpowered here. And then it dawned on him. After he blessed him, it dawned on him. And he's like, I'm going to call this place Peniel because I got it now. I had an encounter with God. And I had a face-to-face encounter with him. But it started, that encounter happened by me not being allowing myself to be defined by my past, but allowing the struggle to refine me, not define me. And now I'm understanding, I'm discovering, I'm finding it out that it was already inside me, that my identity in Christ, that I'm Israel. I'm the one who struggles with God and man, but I overcome. And so he's understanding in his mind and his heart, and now he gets to walk out that process. We don't see that yet, but he's getting to walk out that process. And so God could have totally destroyed him. He could have totally taken him out, but he had mercy on him because he understood that Jacob only didn't know what he was doing. He thought it was right. That was his mindset. And a lot of us, we do things out of just ignorance and not knowing. And God's like, it's okay. I'm gonna be merciful on you because I understand. And I want to bring you and not leave you in your past, but I'm going to bring you from the God of Jacob, being the God of Jacob. I'm going to bring you from that to God of Israel. That I'm changing you. I'm not allowing you to be defined by your past. I'm allowing you to be refined and giving you a new life, a new identity in Christ. And Jacob got that after he was stubborn, persistent, and he realized he was broken. So I want to close with this. Some of you may be in this place and believe the lies that someone has told you, or maybe just believe the mistakes that you've done, and maybe you just believe that that's always it. That's the way it's going to be. I can't do anything. I can't get fixed. But maybe you finally realize that, hey, I'm broken. Hey, I need God's help. I need God's healing. I don't want to be defined by my past anymore. I want to allow it to refine me. I want to learn. I want to know that I'm not staying here. I'm going through it, and I'm going to see a new side of God. I'm going to see him face to face like Jacob did. But you have to come to a place like Jacob did and realize that you're broken. But realize that you can be persistent. You can keep asking. You can keep knocking. And when you do, that door will be opened, and God will bless you. And so I believe God wants to heal some hurts and some desires in your hearts today. But I want to give it up for anybody who has never accepted Christ in your heart, and you want to surrender your life to him and believe in him as your Lord and Savior. If you want to do that or recommit your life, I just want a hands raised. If you want to surrender your life to Christ today, I want to pray for you today. If that's you, you can go ahead and put your hand up. If not, it's cool. Okay. Another thing is I want to encourage each of our families to get in groups here, and I want to pray over one another. I want to pray for those 3 points over our families that and pray for each other. And so if you don't have family here, we're all family. It doesn't matter what skin color, doesn't matter what hair color, doesn't matter how different you are. We're all family. We're all connected through Christ. So if you don't have a family, you are welcome to get plugged in, and we can help you get connected to another family. And we just want to encourage and pray for one another. So if we can just go ahead and break into groups here and pray for one another, and I'll pray with you guys and just lead you in that sense. So if you guys want to go ahead and break into your groups here, and let's go ahead and pray. All right. So the first thing that we're going to be praying for is don't be defined by your past. So let's go ahead and go together and let's pray for one another. In a prayer, it doesn't have to look like something extraordinary or long. Just whatever's on your heart. So let's pray. So God, we just thank you right now that God, that you don't desire for us to be someone who's defined by our past, Lord. But God, I just lift up our past. I lift up all those lies and all of the fear and everything that's been spoken over us, God. God, I pray that that would not define who we are, God. God, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help the struggle that we're going through and the struggles that we will go through. God, I pray that you would teach us to count it all joy. And God, allow us to be refined through that process, God, to be changed, to believe that we're not staying here. We're going to be changed. We're going to get stubborn. We're going to be persistent. We're going to keep fighting, and we're going to keep wrestling until we overcome, just like Jacob did. And God, as Jacob understood his identity and he discovered his identity, Heavenly Father, God, I pray that we would discover, God, that we are like Israel. God, that we will struggle with you in our prayers, but God, we will become like that widow and the wicked judge, that we will just keep asking until you answer, God. And God, I just pray that through our stubbornness, through our persistence, and through our brokenness being brought before you, God, I pray that we would see you. We would see you, we would understand you in our minds, in our hearts, and then we would look at people differently. We would look at life differently. God, we would not be the same. We would believe things about ourselves differently. We would see us how you see us. We would believe what you, who you say I am, just like in that song, God, that we wouldn't listen to all those lies, God, but we silence all those out right now, Jesus. And God, I just pray that you would be with us. Speak to us, God. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
God's good, amen? Good word, Andy. Good word. I think just what we see in Scripture, that's so powerful that he gives Jacob a new name. And he gives all of us a new name. And often those lies come in, and some of those things are spoken over us when we're children. Sometimes by parents, unfortunately. Sometimes by friends. And others, there's words that are spoken over our life. The enemy comes in and he takes them. And we need to understand God's, what he says over us. And when we get into heaven, it says that when we get before God, he's going to give us a stone with a new name on it. Did you know that? It's there. That nobody knows what it is, but it's a new name. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you for this day, dear God, and just thank you for your many blessings, dear God. I pray that you would go with us as we go into our communities this week, Lord God. Just let your presence go with us. And Lord God, and even through the times where we have to wrestle with you, Lord God, it's not because you're harming us, Lord God, but it's so that we become stronger, that we're refined to become who you've called us to be. It's only when we wrestle with God that we develop the qualities in our life that are essential, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray you go with us. Be with Amber as she goes, makes a transition to Fairbury. Be with Daniel and Leah as they transition to Springfield, back to school. And, Lord, be with us as we go into the workplace and the marketplace. Lord, let your presence and your glory go with us. We give you the thanks and the praise, and we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shake a hand, say, God has given you a new name.